Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I'm delighted to welcome Alison Metcalf, who is the Executive Vice President for the USA and Canada, Chief Executive Officer for North America for Tourism Ireland. Very welcome again.
Good to see you. Great to be here, Adrian.
Alison, today we would like to concentrate on Northern Ireland. Considering that Northern Ireland has had a tremendous revitalization, rejuvenation, Northern Ireland is doing very well. And we've somehow maybe overlooked that the first item of the Good Friday Agreement, which was actually put in place, was a tourism for the island of Ireland. And even before the Good Friday Agreement, this was something that was indeed a bold move at the time. No other, in any other agency, government agency, nothing was even approached. Tourism Northern Ireland. Tell us about it.
Well, Tourism Ireland, as you say, came out of the Good Friday Agreement, and tourism was highlighted as an area for closer cooperation. And you're right, Adrian, prior to the formation of Tourism Ireland in 2002, the old Irish Tourist Board of Bord Fáilte had been also working quite closely with the Northern Ireland Tourist Board. So there had been some, you know, joint initiatives. But Tourism Ireland now has the responsibility for promoting the island of Ireland, north, south, east and west. Tourism, as we all know, is borderless. And when people are planning trips, they look at the island of Ireland. So what it means for Northern Ireland is that our goal is to make sure that every American and Canadian traveller that's interested in travelling to the island of Ireland puts Northern Ireland on their agenda. So it becomes a must-see part of the island of Ireland. So it actually gave Northern Ireland a much, much bigger footprint, marketing footprint around the world, as the Northern Ireland Tourist Board only had a small number of offices. They did have one here in New York and obviously in Toronto, but right across the world we have 22 offices or offices of representation, and Northern Ireland is promoted by Tourism Ireland on a daily basis. So it's, I think, been a very successful model, and as we see tourism grow to the island of Ireland from North America, it's growing to Northern Ireland at a faster rate, just coming off a smaller base. But we're delighted that we had a record year from here to Northern Ireland last year, as we did the previous year, and things have got off to a good start, we hope, this year.
Yes, and in fact, your overall figures, and particularly from North America, doing exceptionally well again for the island of Ireland.
That's right. We've got off to a good start this year. We're 7% up for the first quarter, but early days yet. And a lot of that has been as a result of a great increase in direct air access, and that does include a direct daily service from Newark to Belfast with United Airlines. So that's very important that service is promoted and people realise how easy it is to get directly into Belfast and to Northern Ireland. But we promote Northern Ireland right across the country, and it's important that people realise that Dublin and Belfast are only 100 miles apart, and most people, when they travel to the island, want to do both cities. But it's looking good, and we hope with some great marketing, a strong economy here in the US, and a much stronger dollar, Ireland and Northern Ireland specifically certainly offers good value, whether you're paying in euros or you're paying in sterling. The dollar is strong against both currencies.
The Wild Atlantic Way has been indeed much hailed and is a tremendous success story in itself. Having said that, there is, if we wanted to take a look at coastal routes in Ireland, we would not have to start at the tip of Donegal and come the whole way down, because actually, if you really want to take in a coastal route, you would start in Northern Ireland indeed.
Certainly, I mean, I think people love coastal routes wherever you travel in the world, and the Wild Atlantic Way, as you mentioned, has really caught people's imagination. But the Causeway Coastal Route is one that if you can start in Belfast and take it out through out to Ballygally and through Carrickfergus and all the way around to the city of Derry, Londonderry, and then you keep on going, you can connect them with the top of the Wild Atlantic Way. So the Causeway Coastal Route is often referred to as being similar to Highway 1 the Pacific Coastal Highway in California. It's stunning. It's about 120 miles from Belfast all the way around to Derry. And there's so many things to do and see, you know, whether it's...
Actually, we did a program just from that route, and we thought this would be fine. We should be able to do this in a day. And on the third day, we said, okay, all right, let's smarten this up. It is so captivating. And there is so much to see. You know, you look at the map and you say, okay, Belfast to Derry, London to Derry, that's a breeze. But again, like the whole, Wild Atlantic Way, the coastal route is amazing. And the amenities, I think, is really those that it puts some teeth into the culture for the whole.
It really does, and I think it's important that people don't let mileage, the distances fool you, because we take a slower pace in Ireland. There's lots of things to do and see. So if you're interested in castles, you've got Caigfergus Castle, you've got Dunluce Castle up on the North Antrim part of the route there, Bushmills Distillery, the Giant's Causeway, the Carrickarreed Rope Bridge, fabulous beaches, coastal footpaths. And the new news for this year is the reopening of the Gobbins Cliff Footpath. This originally opened in about 1902 for the Belfast and I think Northern Ireland Railway Company. It fell into disrepair. I think it closed about 1954. And it's been totally restored. So it's out at Island Magee in County Antrim. And it's a 2-mile stretch of incredible coastline, rugged footpaths. You have tunnels and suspension bridges.
Yeah, you need to hoof it.
And you need to hoof it. And this opens at the end of June. So this is going to be another attraction for people, starting off, coming out of Belfast and starting off at the bottom of the coastal route. So lots to do and see, and as I say, we would encourage people, if they're travelling by car, this is a great starting point when they're leaving Belfast, and continue all around the island, because the coastal, the coast is rugged, and people just love that, coming from America.
Now, many would say if you add the coastal route and the causeway coastal route to the existing 1,600 miles... Now, the first question is, who the heck is going to do that in one go? You're not expected to do that in one go. As a matter of fact, it is marketed in a very realistic fashion.
It is. I mean, we would encourage people to do different sections of it. So depending upon where you start, I mean, if you were flying into Belfast, you could do the Causeway Coastal Route and then focus on the northwestern part of the of the Wild Atlantic Way. So come around Donegal and all the way down to Connemara and maybe finish in Galway. If you're coming into Shannon, you would obviously start at the other end. So bite-sized pieces, and there's lots of different itineraries on our website at island.com. And you can take a geographical area or you could take a themed area. So if you're interested in food and music or you're interested in cattle, you can take in different parts of the drive. So we want people to come back. We don't want it to be just a once-off visit. And we do see a relatively high number of repeat visitors, perhaps not as high as we would like. It's around 25%. But people have a great time. They always intend to come back. But I think there's a lot of other destinations out there. So the Wild Atlantic Way, Causeway Coastal Route, give you lots of opportunity to come back again.
I know that the tendency when we think of Northern Ireland is to focus on Belfast, and we will in a minute or two, or else Derry, Londonderry, but Game of Thrones film locations and tours in Northern Ireland for those who are addicts to Game of Thrones and its significance, not only in North America, but actually around the world. This has taken off.
It absolutely has taken off, and I mean, there's research out there that shows that people are influenced by movie locations. It does influence their choice of travel destination. So for us, we've been working with HBO on the Game of Thrones series. We've been running a very successful social media campaign on Twitter. And I have to profess, I'm not a Game of Thrones fan. I don't watch a lot of it, but a lot of people do. And it has really been very successful. It's a good example of how we've managed to. We're trying to bring some of those film locations to life and link it back to travel. And whilst Game of Thrones is also filmed in other parts of Europe now, still the majority of the locations you see are filmed in Northern Ireland. So we know that I think in 2014, probably about 20,000 visitors went to Northern Ireland specifically as a result of being influenced by a Game of Thrones location. They may have taken a Game of Thrones tour, because there are a number of companies that offer those tours, or simply visited some of the filming locations themselves. But it has a direct economic impact on the economy, and we reckon those 20,000 visitors probably worth about 10 million sterling to the economy. So if you want to see the dark hedges, you want to do some archery in the courtyard of Winterfell, which is filmed down in Castlewood in County Down. Lots of opportunities, and we have Game of Thrones tours information on the website, and some great piece of print that can take you all the way, from County Down all of the Antrim coast to see some of these very famous locations.
Yeah, when you think that there are still a great number of tourists who go to Ireland and they need to get up to Mayo and to Galway. To capture the original shooting of the Quiet Men.
Yes.
This will be all long dead and buried before. All right, correct that. I'll speak for myself. Before, in fact, because when something like this catches on, particularly in a film, it has legs. It just won't go away.
It does, and as they say, Northern Ireland is the real Westeros, and it's massive. I mean, it's a massive brand. HBO is a massive brand. The show has taken off. There's a huge amount of social media activity around this,
yeah.
And you referenced the Quiet Men earlier. Things like this, they last for a long time. People are still traveling to Ireland to see where Waking Ned Divine was filmed,
right.
To see where The Quiet Men was filmed. Movies are very impactful. Film locations are very impactful in influencing where people travel. Not everybody, but a lot of people.
Yeah.
And this is something where we've tried to use it to put a different, use popular culture and link fantasy back to reality and trying to get people to see Northern Ireland in a different light, and this is certainly seems to be paying off.
Belfast, again, the magic of Belfast and the iconic Titanic Centre in Belfast, even for us when we thought we knew it all and went there, it is so captivating that you really have to scratch your head and say, is this really, could this happen in such a short period of time?
I think the Titanic factor has been huge. I mean, obviously, Titanic Belfast, the visitor experience, opened in 2012, which was the centenary of the building of Titanic. And Titanic has really put not only Belfast on the map, but Northern Ireland on the map. And again, it's another example of a very, very powerful brand. And it has allowed, I think, Belfast to really sort of bring its maritime history and heritage to life. So the experience for anybody travelling to Ireland is a must visit. It's very experiential. It's not a dusty, passive kind of museum. It's very experiential. It's very interactive. The tender ship is now open. Again, there's Titanic tours that you can take all around the city away from the visitor experience itself. And just yesterday, the announcement was made that the iconic Holland and Wolff, the drawing offices, are going to be converted into a hotel, a boutique hotel. So how cool will that be to sort of go and say you stayed in the Holland and Wolff offices in the drawing room where one of the greatest liners.
And they have the space and obviously
was designed and built and engineered.
The Waldorf story, or it will be at least anyway.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's really opened up that whole maritime part of the city,
and of course the shipping, the port has become extremely popular, particularly with the dredging and whatever over the last few years. It is now a major port.
It is, and like other ports around the island, Belfast also is gaining in popularity with cruise ships. So if you look at the number of cruise ships visiting Ireland now, it's about 60 of the major cruise line companies coming into Belfast this year. A similar number, slightly more, into Dublin, I think it's about 80. And then there were smaller ships going into Derry, London, Derry, Cove, and Galway and other parts. But we're an island, and our maritime heritage is very, very important to us. But it's interesting to see the international cruise lines coming in. It's another form of business, the shore excursions. The great thing about Ireland, when they get off the ship every day, they can get to so many interesting and stunning locations. And they can also golf all around the island, too, and get back on the ship at night. So the experience that a lot of the primarily US-based companies have had has been a very, very positive one. So Belfast is booming, and the Titanic Quarter is certainly doing extremely well. Lots of new hotels coming into that area as well as other parts of the city. So it's becoming a very vibrant, very cosmopolitan city. And I think it's a city that is, every time you visit, and I'm back quite a bit, it's constantly evolving and constantly changing. And that's good to see.
You can be forgiven for being slightly biased because, you choose Northern Ireland, or you're married into Northern Ireland, so it's obviously your enthusiasm here is kind of coming through, but it's good.
I think it's good. I mean, I don't want to be accused of being biased, obviously, promoting the island of Ireland, and yes, family in Northern Ireland. If I'm not in North America, I suppose when I'm back in Ireland, I do spend a fair bit of time up north, but I'm as passionate about the entire island, obviously, but it's a part of the country that, obviously, Tourism Ireland and the team here in New York and in Toronto are very sort of proud to promote. And for a lot of people, it was not on their agenda for a long, long time. So we have had a lot of work to do, but it's really good to see that the number of Americans including it, Northern Ireland, in their travel plans is increasing. And it's things
Absolutely,
like Titanic, and it's things like Game of Thrones, and it's things like Rory McIlroy and golfers like that that are really sort of shifting perception.
Absolutely. And also, this didn't start today or yesterday. When you think that 20 years ago, two decades ago, the sister city for Belfast, Nashville, who would have thunk that the great association. But then that shouldn't be that much of a surprise, considering that music and festivals are extraordinarily, it's a year-round event in Northern Ireland. Seems like there's no lull.
No, there's a lot of, obviously, Northern Ireland is home to a lot of famous musicians, as you know, everything from Van Morrison to Snow Patrol and James Galway and all sorts of other musicians. But there's lots of events and festivals.
Phil Coulter, of course.
Absolutely.
Dana, we could go on,
Dana, yes, absolutely. I mean, so again, like so many parts of the island, we punch above our weight. And I think, again, people, if we can tap into people's interest in music, people love Ireland and they love the music that offers. And it's not just the traditional, that's obviously a big, big draw, but it's also some of the contemporary music and some of the festivals that are now taking place in Belfast and Dublin and all around the country, particularly in some of the shoulder months, are really drawing an increasing number of visitors. So it's a great place to go, and there's a strong sense of development of young bands coming on stream and that sort of incubated culture.
And very high quality, recognized in the British circuit and in the Great Britain overall music circuit, you see constantly, and maybe a majority of the new fresh bands, and groups, they're all coming out. They seem to be coming out of Northern Ireland, getting that kind of international recognition.
Yeah, they're coming out of Ireland generally, I think, and you see a lot of them getting getting exposure at events like South by Southwest over here in the US. So I think it's recognised, and it's something that I think it really just enriches the contemporary culture of Ireland, north, south, east or west. It doesn't really matter. I think it's something that we excel at, and I think it's just another one of those creative veins that, that they're in the Irish DNA. We're very good at music. It's the same thing with from a literary perspective as well. The creative industries are very strong, and it's something which is alive and well, and it's great to see the engagement from young people.
Yes, and the historic the cross border taking of Coltis Kilturiaran to Derry, Londonderry, that had to be one of our best experiences, because All the begrudgers were saying this is a bad idea, it's not going to work, and it's too spread out, and whatever. It turned out to be one of the best ever. And that was...
Absolutely.
Historic doesn't even cover it. It was great.
Fantastic success, and hopefully will continue to move around, and we'll be back into Northern Ireland too. I mean, phenomenal success, it really was. And again, it's initiatives like that are making a big difference.
Now, for those who are not going to knock in County Mayo with Cardinal Dolan, if you wanted to go second best place, maybe it would be to Armagh, considering that it is the ecclesiastical capital of Ireland. How we let that happen, I don't know. But
I don't know.
Hey.
Hey, and we got two St. Patrick's Cathedrals there, so how about that? It is the ecclesiastical capital of Ireland, and again, if anybody interested in Christian heritage and following in the footsteps of St. Patrick, it's a good starting point in Dublin, Armagh, and carry on all the way up to Downpatrick and to the small little town of Saul in County Down. And there's a lot of discussion out there at the moment that is looking at ways to create a kind of camino and to link it all up for visitors going forward. It's a great part of our Christian heritage, and again, if anybody is interested, it's a good starting point.
And obviously, tours to Northern Ireland have an additional value in that a lot of tours that do come to Northern Ireland, CIE comes to mind, but there are many tours that will take in Ireland, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, Ireland, Britain, all of which have, grown steadily over the years. One would say that the tours held their own at a time that, there may have been hesitation with visitors going to Ireland. It's a great place. Speaking of culture and cultural events, particularly in Northern Ireland, perhaps it would have been somewhat offensive a couple of decades ago to speak about the culture of Northern Ireland, lest somebody would assume that you are making comparisons with the other. However, with thanks to the Mortino Muilors and indeed a lot of the people in Northern Ireland, they're quite proud of a culture that they have earned.
Absolutely, and I think there is a great sense of cross community, and the culture there is the Scots-Irish culture or the Irish culture are embraced right across the board, and you have an opportunity as a visitor to gain exposure to both. And it's a uniquely Northern Irish culture. There's a blending of the two. There's definitely that there's a Scots-Irish culture in certain parts of the country, and there's more of an Irish culture in other parts. But I think that the point is it's a very inclusive culture, and I think that comes through in a lot of the events that you see, whether they're literary events. And again, look at Fermanagh, look at Samuel Beckett, look at the Happy Days Festival that takes place in Enniskillen. That's a fantastic experience. And I don't think, it's not about one culture or the other. It's about culture in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely.
And from a visitor perspective, it's unique, it's different, and the similarities as well, but it's unique to Northern Ireland, and it's what makes it interesting, and it makes from a visitor perspective, the island of Ireland interesting. And I think you see it coming through in the different festivals, the literary festivals, the music festivals. Irish dance championships have been in Belfast many times. You've talked about the FLA. Equally so, the Highland Games as well.
The Cross-Border Orchestra of Ireland, which indeed during the so-called Troubled Times, and that was when there was a distinct border. Now, of course, if you are crossing in Northern Ireland, you'd really have to, you know, even the GPS won't tell you where the border will.
No, there's no borders, you know. I mean, it's you just, it's, you're in Europe, you just drive across, anything you notice is the difference in the signs, the miles and the kilometres. But so it's one Ireland from a tourism perspective, and I think that's the way everybody sees it. And from a tourism perspective, we work with everybody around the island of Ireland. And you mentioned the tours earlier, whether you're traveling on your own on a self-drive car, whether you're on an escorted tour, whether you're part of a golf tour, part of a group tour. All of the major U.S. tour operators are programming Northern Ireland now, and in the same way they're programming the west of Ireland. And we're keen to, you know, again, work with those tour operators because there's constantly new experiences coming on stream right around the island of Ireland. You know, the island's ancient east, which is, you know, is basically going to come alive over the next year or so, bringing that whole product experience to life from sort of Wicklow all the way down to Cork.
Sure.
So it's there's lots to do, lots to see, and it's, tourism is really, you know, making a massive contribution out to the economy. But at the end of the day, it's about having fun, and it's about, we're selling vacations here, and I think Ireland does, you know, does a good job at that.
And lest we leave listeners with the impression that there's one blanket marketing of the whole island of Ireland, try telling that to some regional tourism areas in Ireland, whether that's Northern Ireland or the West, or the, there is a great sense of competition to, and I think competition's there, maybe you have a better word for it, but people in the various tourism regions of Ireland, believe me, they have a very good, they put the foot forward to keep you where you're going.
They do, and
you know.
And our goal is to make, you know, is to encourage North Americans to travel to every part of the island of Ireland. And in our, in the Tourism Ireland marketing communications that you see out there, you'll see us promoting the Wild Atlantic Way and different experiences along that as much as you'll see us promoting Dublin and Belfast, Northern Ireland, and the East Coast. So it's, the great thing is that Americans do tend to travel for 8 or 9 days. They're keen to explore and get off the beaten track. So as a result of that, many of our tourism partners right around the island get to welcome Americans and see them. But it is about spreading the experience and spreading the economic benefit, as you know.
Right. And there are so many museums, heritage centres in Northern Ireland, since we're focusing on that today. It's tremendous.
It
you know,
is.
We think of Northern Ireland, and we also think in song and in story about, you know, the linen industry, and we think of Belfast. But however, if we go to Lisburn, that's where we're going to find
the Irish Linen Centre. Absolutely. And then you can leave the Irish Linen Centre and take a tour out and, you know, go to some of the, you know, the farms and see where the flax is grown, and go to a scutching mill and things like that. Equally so, there's the National Trust properties, and the great stately homes and gardens. The Mount Stuart House and Gardens has just reopened in County Down just the last couple of months after a major, major refurbishment. And then in Belfast, you have the Ulster Museum, again, had a major addition put onto that recently. If you're interested in exploring your ancestors, the Public Records Office of Northern Ireland now is down in the Titanic Quarter, the Linenhall Library. There's lots and lots of things to do and see. And then, of course, OMA, the Irish American Folk Park.
Indeed,
I mean, that really is for anybody interested in seeing where they came from, and just looking at that pattern of emigration. It's an open air, very experiential museum, and a must see for anybody that is touring.
Well, one of the again through from a government standpoint, one of the facts is that a lot of young people who are graduating are actually finding employment in Northern Ireland. And actually they hold, kind of hold the record, you know, in terms of getting jobs and becoming part of a progressing Northern Ireland, even more so than in other parts.
Yes, I mean, obviously foreign direct investment has played a major role in that. And Invest Northern Ireland do, I have to say, a great job here in the US in promoting that and bringing jobs and great global brands to Belfast and to Northern Ireland. So it's great to see young people being given the opportunity to work with, you know, major financial services or pharmaceutical brands at home in Northern Ireland in the same way that there's experiences to do that in Dublin and other parts of the island. But no, very, very important that, and a highly educated workforce and great young people that want to want to work hard and make a contribution. It's great to see them getting the opportunities at home, and equally so working for some of these global brands, then having the opportunity to gain international experience, whether it's going to Europe or whether it's coming to the US, and whether they stay or not, they're taking that experience back home, and that has to be a very positive force for the future in Northern Ireland.
Finally, I'd like to just point out that for those who are interested, for instance, again, in the castles in the north, there has been a lot of refurbishment, and the castles and monuments and great landmarks have been restored, and they are tourist friendly.
They are, that's right. And I mentioned the National Trust and their investment in places like Mount Stuart House and Gardens. But constant investment in improving the product and the experiences. So again, with its museums, with some of the outdoor visitor attractions such as, you know, the Giant's Causeway and the Carrickabreed Rope Bridge or some of the forest parks, again, they're being made as visitor-friendly as possible, and that's really, really important. And then on the accommodation side of the house, again, there's a lot of new hotels coming into Belfast, but it's good to see the places like, and I don't want to name specific hotels, but to see some of the historic hotels also being sort of invested in too. And the merchant, I will name one, was basically the refurbished headquarters of the Ulster Bank. Again, has sort of set the bar very high in Belfast. The Europa is obviously a landmark. Yeah. The Culloden, a super five-star property, out as you're going towards Bangor. So lots of investment in the product. That's really critical. It's important that people have a sense that we have the infrastructure on the ground. And very, exciting news just a couple of weeks ago. Belmont is a travel company that operate the Orient Express and other luxury products around the world, and they have they're introducing the Grand Hibernian Railway Experience in 2016 to Ireland, and that will actually include Northern Ireland. So there'll be a four-day itinerary that goes from Dublin to Galway and Killarney, I believe, and another itinerary that will go from Dublin, Belfast, up to the Causeway Coastal Route. So luxury product experiences such as those coming to Ireland is very good for the brand, and when you add those types of experiences to many of the other world-class products that we have, such as Ashford Castle, they've just had an incredible, not a renovation, a refurbishment, almost a rebuild. It really is putting Ireland into the consideration set of people that want to experience the best of travel wherever they choose to take their vacation.
And you might as well, not wait for 2016 to say that Northern Ireland will also be recognized for food. Now, as many of you say, there is much more they can do there other than take a very significant tourist experience and highlight it. How did that actually happen to land for next year?
Well, it's an initiative that has come from the department. So it's come from the executive. So Northern Ireland has been designated as the Year of Food in 2016. And there is a tourism part. It's not all about tourism. It's obviously the food and the agri side of the house. But from a tourism perspective, I think it's very important. We all know great food is a very important part of any vacation experience. But bringing it to light and using it to really enhance the vacation experience and the quality of the overall vacation experience in Northern Ireland. So what will that mean? It will mean that there will be new food trails developed, there will be opportunities to visit food markets, artisanal producers. There'll be trails, very much sort of capitalizing on the farm to fork kind of approach sustainable tourism, sustainable food and tourism approach that we've seen so successfully delivered in other parts of Ireland. So it's something which we're looking forward to, certainly from a Tourism Ireland perspective, be an opportunity to highlight cooking schools, some of our young Irish chefs, and some of the great fresh ingredients that they are bringing to the table, and really having the opportunity to say that Ireland, Northern Ireland, the entire island of Ireland, is a destination for foodies. And we are seeing that in our research. When we ask people what's important to them and what their expectations are about certain elements of a vacation when traveling to Ireland, their expectations around food are sort of fairly average. When they come back and we ask them the same questions, they're totally blown away. So we want to make sure that culinary experience is as good as it can be right the way around the island of Ireland, and it's going to be a big spotlight, obviously, for Northern Ireland in 2016.
And some of the world's greatest recognised chefs, again, are from Northern Ireland.
They are, absolutely, and, gentlemen like Noel McNeil from who cooked for the G8 summit down in Fermanagh at Loch Earn is certainly one of our great ambassadors. And there are many, many more that come and work with us here, and are just so proud of what they do and where they come from and the ingredients, the local ingredients that they use. So it's that sustainable approach, and there are way too many chefs to mention, but Noel is certainly one that has done an awful lot in terms
of course, Nevin.
And Nevin Maguire, absolutely.
Yeah.
And others around the country. So I
and
think
they pass up, these are chefs that actually travel quite a bit, and they hold their own in terms of world famous chefs on television shows, on the Food Channel.
Absolutely. I mean, they've written cookbooks. They're on major TV networks when they come here to the US. They've become culinary brands in themselves, but they haven't forgotten where they're from, and most of them, as you rightly said, are still living and working back in Ireland. Others, Kevin Dundon, Catherine Fulvio, Clodagh McKenna, all of these are great ambassadors for us, and whilst they're obviously building, to a certain extent, their own brand of promoting food, they are promoting the destination and the ingredients and the building a culture that talks to how we, promoting or living in Ireland, view of our culinary experience nowadays.
My guest, friends, is Alison Metcalf, Executive Vice President, USA and Canada for Tourism Ireland, and indeed the Chief Executive Officer, North America for Tourism Ireland. Thank you for spending the time with us.
Thank you, Adrian. Always a pleasure.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.